Church, that brings us all the way up to our sixth objective. We have to be righteous in our deeds. We must be righteous in our deeds. The subtitle for tonight's message is Do Good. Do good. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Church, if we're going to live as Christians ought, we must be righteous in our deeds. Now, this objective and next week's objective are very similar, because this week we are dealing with our deeds. Next week we will deal with our activities. So I want to explain the difference between the two, because if you just look up a basic definition of deeds and activities, in some ways they're defined the same. So what is the difference between our deeds and our activities? Our deeds are our works. They are our works, our actions. Our deeds are our labor, our work, our actions, our labor. Our activities are our pursuits. Our pursuits. Those things that we engage in for enjoyment and enrichment. The things that we engage in for enjoyment and enrichment. So although the definitions are very similar, for the purposes of this series, when we talk about our deeds, we're dealing with our work. When we talk about our activities, we are dealing with our play. Deeds are our works. Activities are our play. So next week, we will talk about how do we enjoy life in a righteous way. That's the difference between the two. So if we are going to live as Christians ought, we must be righteous in our deeds. In other words, we must do good works. We must, as Christians, do good works. Church, God requires that Christians do good works. He requires it. It's not an option. It's not something that is good to do. It is what he requires of every Christian, that we live a life full of good works. Well, what qualifies as a good work? Because we do a lot of things that we think are good works that really aren't. Good works are works that God desires us to do. Not what we want to do. Not what we conclude, well, this needs to be done, so I'm just going to take over and I'm just going to do this. They are works that God desires us to do. Good works are works that benefit others. Works that benefit others. They are helpful. They give aid to others. Now, that's important for us, especially for us mamas, because sometimes we do things for others, like our children, not really helpful, not really aiding them. It actually hinders them. We become a crutch to our children. That's not a good work. A good work is a work that benefits others. It's helpful. It provides aid. And good works are works done with a proper motivation. In other words, I can do something very helpful, but if my motivation is wrong, it's not a good work. Not in the eyes of the Lord. I can do something very helpful because I want someone to pat me on the back. I want someone to praise me. That's not a good work. So we perform good works when we do what God wants us to do, when we do it in a way that benefits others, and when we have the proper motivation when we do it. We perform good works when we do what God wants us to do. We do it in a way that benefits others, And when we have the proper motivation when we do it. A Christian's life should be filled with good works. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Very familiar verse of scripture. We have learned it in many different contexts. We're going to read it again. The first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." As a Christian, when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, those first 10 verses, we could see the whole progression of our life. We could see the total progression of where we were and where we are now. See, I was dead in sin. I was slain. Slain by sin. I had no life. And I could not help myself because I was in the habit of following the world. It was habitual. I knew that what I was doing wasn't good for me. I knew what I was doing was harmful, but I couldn't stop. I was in a habit. Following the world. I was a slave to the lust of my flesh and the lust of my mind. And because of that, I was subject to God's wrath. The wrath of God hung over me. But God was merciful. That is, he saved me simply because he loved me. He took me out of a dead situation, gave me a new life through Christ. Now I have a better life and the promise of eternal life, so that when I lay my body down, I will keep on living. And for all eternity, I will have a place in the kingdom with Jesus Christ. And in that place, in the kingdom with Christ, I will experience his grace and his kindness forever. That's what was promised to me. Isn't that good? That's the life that is promised to me after I end this natural life. Amen. See, you hear people talk about, "I'm living my best life." You hear people say that? See, I can't live my best life now. That's not possible because it's too much pain. It's too much toil. It's too much stress. It's too much adversity. It's too much grief. So I can't live my best life right now. That's a facade. Right now, I'm living the best that I can. But the best life I have is the life to come. It is stored up in heaven for me. It is a treasure in heaven just waiting for me. So I'm saved, but not saved because of anything I did. I'm saved by grace. Look at verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, none of us can take credit for the fact that we're going to heaven. Can't take credit for it. All I can do is be grateful. All I can do is be thankful. All I can do is hope for what is to come and say, "Thank you, Lord, for snatching me out of destruction and giving me in eternal life. But in the meantime, there is what I must do here. Let's look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, or his handiwork, his work of art. Some translations say we are his poem, recreated in Christ. See, we were children of disobedience, but we were recreated. God made us different. He made us new. We are no longer children of disobedience. We have been transformed, recreated in Christ unto good works. That word unto means for the purpose. We have been transformed for the purpose of doing good works. That's what the scripture is saying, that God transformed us for the purpose of doing good works, not for the purpose of getting my blessing, not for the purpose of naming and claiming, for the purpose of doing good works. And the works that we must do are not the works we decide to do. That's important. We have been transformed for the purpose of doing the works that God has planned for us to do. That's why in the scripture it says, which God hath before ordained. Those things that he has planned for us to do. See, God has a claim on our life, and he has plans. I know we have plans. I know we came into the body of Christ with plans. I know we came to the altar with our plans, and we prayed a prayer, and we expected God to just embrace our plans. But God has his own plans. He has his claim on our life, and God decided to transform us. Then he gave each of us an assignment. Do the good that I have decided you must do. That's true for all of us. He has laid it out for us. He gave us gifts. He gave us grace. He put us in a family. He set us in a place. Now we have all of this around us. We are in an environment. We have gifts. We have talents. We have abilities. And now God says, I have appointed some good works for you. There are some things that I want you to do. But the thing that challenges us is we want to do what we want to do. We don't like the gifts that God has given us. God gives me gift A, I want gift B. I wish I could do what this other person does. God has placed us in a family. I don't like my family. I want another family. Why couldn't you have put me in a different family? We're in a certain place. God, I don't want to be in this place. I want to be somewhere else. We're always trying to be something different than what God has recreated us to be. But he's saying, I have placed you here because there is a work that I want you to do. There are some good works. And church, good works are not just for the preacher, not just for the pastor, not just for the church leadership. It is not God's will that any Christian be idle. It is not his will that any Christian be lazy or indifferent or selfish. There are good works that God expects each of us to do with the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that he has given us. But too often, we just miss the appointment. We have an appointment with good works. And the purpose of our good works is to show people who Jesus is and to show them what he can do. That is the purpose of our good works. See, we have a testimony. There's what we say to people. We say, this is my testimony. God has forgiven me of my sins. I've been transformed. I'm like him. I have eternal life. That's what we say. But people see the evidence of God's power through the good that we do. See, people saw us when we were doing deeds of unrighteousness. And then when we gave our life